Jason, Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, Brandon Bigsby behind the glass.
Brand new.
We have on now, after the wonderful win from Nashville SC, 1-0 against Club America last night for the first time at Stadio Azteca, Ben Wright is on the line. Ben, how are you, man?
Yo, I'm good. I am recovering from about 2.5 hours of sleep last night, but definitely better than if Nashville had lost that game, for sure.
You got that right, for sure. You were one of the, I guess, only people online to report the Sam Surge news about the hamstring that's day-to-day. Can you give a little bit more insight on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a ton more to give. He did not get on the plane to Mexico City. I don't know if he picked the injury up in training or if he played the last 15 minutes or so of the 2-1 win in Charlotte last weekend. So, still trying to get some clarity on when the injury occurred and I guess what his prognosis is. Remarkable that Nashville were able to pull out that win without Surge, who's been their best player so far this season.
Yeah, I think the big thing when looking at Nashville's match last night against Club America, and even BJ's mentioned this, and I've kind of honed in on it, is that, you know, they haven't been really clean in the attacking third. And last night, obviously, it was very fitting for a guy in Hani Mukhtar to score the lone goal of the match when he was one of the very first on this club, the big signings. But what did you think about the final third when it came to Nashville's cleanliness and passing the ball around the net?
Yeah, I think it's always going to be tough to ask any team to be super clean in the Azteca, just with, I mean, first of all, Club America are one of the kind of elite teams in definitely North America, but the Western Hemisphere in general. So I think it's a big ask for teams to go in and play a super clean game. At some point, you kind of just have to grind it out a little bit. I think Nashville definitely did that in the first half, but as the second half went on, I think Nashville really grew into the game, controlled the ball a lot more. I think you saw them create more chances. Christian Espinosa should have scored a second goal kind of towards the end of the game. I was really impressed with how they grew into the game, especially considering the altitude. Usually it's the opposite. You'll see teams kind of look okay for the first 20 or 30 minutes and then just get gassed quickly. And I was really impressed with how Nashville handled it.
Yeah, I feel like Nashville absorbed pressure well when it came to Club America kind of funneling more players centrally than out in the wider parts of the field. But overall, looking at just the defenders, Jason Palacios, Maxwell Wolitzy, both had a really good game. Obviously, Palacios went off early with around the 80th minute, give or take. And then Jack Mayer came in. It seemed like it was a non-contact injury for Palacios. Anything on that? Have you heard?
Yeah, we didn't get to ask BJ Callahan about that specifically after the game. We're going to talk to him Friday before their MLS match. Palacios looked like he was moving around fine after the game. Initially, when he went down, it looked like just a cramp. He had kind of been struggling on and off throughout the match. I think, again, altitude. I wasn't super concerned by it, but we'll see what his status is for Saturday. And again, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Nashville rotate anyway, just with kind of the fixture condition they've had. So I don't know if him not playing on Saturday means that he's dealing with any kind of serious injury.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the rotation, because a guy in Warren Madrigal, who's seen a lot of minutes the last few games, especially against Charlotte, starting up there with Ruben Patius up top, and then starting last night, against Club America in the second leg, you wonder where he fits in the fold for Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, he's young. He's 21. And I think there are just some players who are able to play a lot of minutes back-to-back-to-back. I mean, Maxwell Wolitzy has played like 85% of available minutes so far this year. He's 24, so he's on the younger side. But then you have a guy like Hani Mukhtar, 31. He's played the third most minutes on the team so far this year, even with rotation. So I think it's kind of maybe a player-by-player type thing. For whatever reason, it feels like Madrigal is a guy who's able to just kind of go out multiple times a week and put in a pretty similar level of performance. And again, I think in Charlotte, you saw that even when Nashville rotate, they're not like completely rotating. They still leave a few key guys in, and they're able to get results. So I would expect a guy like Madrigal to at least be involved in Atlanta. I don't know if he's going to start or play the full 90, but I'd be surprised if he's not on the field at some point.
Yeah, another player that's made his debut with the club in this tournament, and that's Reed Baker-Whiting. He's just been an integral part of this defensive side of the ball for Nashville. Obviously had a little bit of an issue last night getting a ball past him, just a through ball, and the player from Club America made a run in behind him. But minus that, I feel like he's played at a very high level for this Nashville team and has really contributed valuable minutes with, you know, Daniel Lovitz playing majority of the MLS season.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably the first choice left back at this point. I mean, in the biggest games so far this season, he started ahead of Dan Lovitz. And look, I mean, Lovitz has been one of the most important players for Nashville, like, since they joined MLS. But he's also 34. He's going to turn 35 here not too long. And I think anyone who's kind of followed the team knew that at some point they were going to have to look for younger options at both fullback spots. I don't think anyone really thought they'd be able to go out and grab a player like Baker-Whiting, who is, I mean, he just turned 21, but he's been kind of one of the premier young players in MLS. He had almost 80 appearances for the Sounders before he turned 21. He's also been a guy who's played against teams from Mexico, I mean, in League's Cup when the Sounders won it. So I think he has experience in games like this. And I've just been pretty blown away by his ability to jump into the team seamlessly, what looks like win the starting job, and contribute at a really high level off the bat.
Yeah, Ben Wright's with us here from 615 Soccer, the founder and executive editor of 615 Soccer. Ben, another one for you before we let you go. Looking at this team as a whole, getting the big win last night over Club America, it seems like they're probably going to be playing Tigres in the semifinal round of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And if Nashville were to make it to the final, it doesn't seem like they'd be hosting it due to the just different outplays of it, with LAFC scoring more goals and having more points overall in the entire tournament. But what do you think might happen with Nashville if they do end up playing Tigres in the semifinals?
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's theoretically a way that Nashville could host the final. It would probably mean they have to win both legs of the semifinal, and I think probably make up some goal differential. So it's a long shot, but not out of the question. I'm not convinced that it's going to be Tigres. I mean, they have a 2-0 lead heading into the second leg of their quarterfinal with Seattle tonight. But I mean, I think Seattle are probably a better team. They've also been experienced in this tournament before, and they, for whatever reason, seem to be able to kind of pull out results. So I would not be shocked at all if Seattle kind of make up that goal differential and end up advancing. I think either way, it's going to be a similar test for Nashville in the semifinals. I mean, both of these teams have been in CONCACAF Champions Cup finals within the past 5-6 years. So definitely a tough test, but I think for Nashville, they've already taken out Miami. They've already taken out Club America. And I think at this point, they'll kind of back themselves against whoever they face.
I like it. Ben, real quick, I did a Google search about Nashville SC's win last night, and everywhere I'm looking, shocking, historic, shocking. Just how big on the international landscape was that win last night for Nashville SC?
I mean, it's massive. I mean, the Azteca stadium that they played at is one of the most historic stadiums, I would say, definitely in the Western Hemisphere, but even in kind of global soccer. It's the only stadium to ever host 2 World Cup finals. It's the stadium where Diego Maradona had his kind of famous hand of God goal in the 1986 World Cup final. No MLS team had ever won there. So just Nashville going in there, not just getting a result, but winning the match is pretty historic. I think it doesn't just make international news, but I think it kind of establishes Nashville as one of the really elite teams in North American soccer.
Now, can they carry, and look, I'm the ignorant one here, Nick knows all this, and you know all this, but as a guy just watching from outside looking in, can they take this momentum and apply it to the MLS and just keep rolling? Or is it like, man, we got to give the CONCACAF our energy, MLS our energy? Are they able to put both together and still perform at a high level?
Yeah, that's always been the tricky part of it, right? You've seen teams like Seattle Sounders. They won this tournament back in 2022 and had really a pretty big drop off in the MLS regular season after the fact, just because you have to expend so much energy at the start of really your season. I mean, Nashville are only a few games into their regular season. So, I mean, it's a big ask. I think you're seeing that Nashville have more depth than they've ever had before. I mean, they were able to rotate against a really good Charlotte team who had lost, I think, just three times at home in the last year. They were able to rotate and go there and get a result. They're currently on top of the Eastern Conference and one of the top teams in MLS right now. So far they're doing it. I think the other thing to look at too is that this year you're going to have a 2 month break for the World Cup, and that's never really been a thing before, and so I think it works out for Nashville because it gives them the ability to maybe go a little bit harder after this tournament and not have to worry too much about dropping off over the summer, because you know that you're going to have a 2 month break to kind of recover, reset, add some players in the transfer window, and I think it gives them maybe a unique ability to make a deep run in CONCACAF and kind of continue this level in MLS.
Yeah, been to that point when you mentioned the World Cup. Nashville obviously qualified for another tournament. That's the League's Cup. That will take place, I believe, in August. Correct me if I'm wrong there. But that to me, I think, bodes well for Nashville, because not a lot of these players, minus Patrick Yazbek and maybe one or two other players on this roster, are not going to get called up to the World Cup. So it feels like, to me, Nashville will have all their guys healthy, and you just kind of be going status quo, maybe training here and there and get a little bit of time off, but then you're just going to ramp it right back up with a bunch of healthy players in August.
Yeah, I agree. I think it gives them the ability to maybe push players a little bit more than we've seen in the past, because, I mean, dog days of summer are a real thing in MLS, and you see teams start to get tired, start to drop off a little bit. I mean, it's miserable playing in most of these stadiums in July. Like 95 degrees is not fun to play in for anybody. And so I think you see teams having to manage minutes a lot more. So really, I think it kind of splits this up into almost two mini seasons in the spring and in the fall. So I'm fascinated to see how Nashville and really every MLS club handles it. I also think it works out well, because in the past, the summer transfer window came like really with only a third of the season left. And so any summer signings only had a few games to really make an impact. You ended up seeing most summer signings kind of made as a signing for next year. This year, they're going to have at least half the season, maybe even more than half the season after the transfer window opens. So you can see teams make signings who will have bigger impacts on this year. I think it works out for Nashville really well.
Ben Wright with 615 Soccer, founder and executive editor of 615soccer.com. Ben, appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, Nick, thanks for having me. Always fun to talk with you.
Ben Wright, 615 Soccer.
Well done. I enjoy these conversations because, again, I don't know anything about soccer, but hearing you guys, I kind of about like osmosis, I pick up, like, oh, do this. But I did the Google search, and it's pages and pages, historic, massive win.
Yeah, and to the point of the international stage of it all, just getting that brand out there, recognizing on social media for Nashville SC, they've done a bunch of collaboration posts with a bunch of big name brands of like 433, BR Soccer, all that stuff that have a big outreach of soccer followers. So to me, in listening to that also with CONCACAF Champions Cup, this is a massive opportunity for Nashville to really make a name for themselves internationally. So this is, it's huge.
Well, I think it's a good thing. Also, as we talked about in the Preds on this run, like, go support them.
Right.
So if they beat Atlanta Saturday, the next home game is the 25th, right, versus Charlotte?
I believe so. Yeah, I can double check.
And they need to put the home team on the bottom. I don't know why the home team's on top.
Thank you. It bothers me as well.
So Charlotte comes down the 25th. Pat Giotis, right?
Yeah, Pat Giotis, man.
I mean, it's celebrate this team for what they've done. I mean, it's just remarkable.
Let's see. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It is against Charlotte. It's 7:30 kickoff, too.
7:30.
A late one on the 25th.
Is it called a kickoff?
Yeah, kickoff.
They call that a kickoff? I thought in your little soccer world it's something else, like
kickoff.
Place the ball down and let's go or
right.
Something.
No. Drop the puck at center ice. No, it's not that. It's just kickoff.
Well, it's a face-off in hockey. Kickoff, tip-off, first pitch.
I said drop the puck at center ice. I know it's a face-off.
But that's what people call it. If you tell me face-off, I'm like, okay, I know that.
Yeah, I know.
The kickoff, I know that. Tip off, I know that.
Square
first pitch.
Off, that's more of like
so
boxing.
So yeah. Soccer is a kickoff?
Kickoff, yeah.
Okay. I'm learning, man. Give it to me.
That's
right?
fine. Yeah, we're learning together.
I'm embracing your little world. What about your little podcast?
Talking Caucho Podcast. I'll be live tonight with Claudio Villalobos with Nashville Total Sports with his podcast. So you can get the audio version of the Talking Caucho Podcast on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Are you going live on the Game Nashville Sports Network tonight?
No, this is on his platform.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I was invited. Yeah.
Look at you, man.
So.
Soccer expert, Dr. Crane.
Yeah.
Or football.
Caucho.
What do you like it, football?
I don't like football.
Just
caucho.
Okay.
Football is not, it's not me. It just doesn't scream Dr. Crane. Caucho screams Dr.
Caucho does. All right, we'll get back to our question of the day, which is there are grumblings that they're going to build another sphere like the one in Vegas. Why did I say it like that? Sphere. There we go. Like severe. Like Mrs. Wiggins. Sphere here in Nashville. There's grumblings out there. They're going to build two more, one in D.C., one in Nashville. Where do you think they should build a sphere if they bring it to Middle Tennessee? We need right answers. We need wrong answers. That's our question today, brought to you by Aries Tactical. Go to 615-737-1025. Call or text. Let us know if they're going to put a sphere in Nashville or Middle Tennessee. Where do you want the sphere to go? We have great answers. We need more answers from you guys. That's next. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show right here, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game.